Let's open our Bibles to Habakkuk. We're going to go to chapter 2. And in this chapter, Habakkuk is waiting for a response from the Lord. He's asked the Lord for instruction, and God is going to give him instruction, and because the Lord had put that request on his heart. And this pertains, if you will, if you go through the chapter and read it, the wrath of God's going to be poured out. There's a judgment that's coming, and there's a correction that's going to be made, and God is going to prevail. But in this, especially in the first few verses of this chapter, even though it's pertaining in a way to the setup of dealing with these ungodly people, there's much encouragement in these few verses to us and how the Lord deals with us. And the attention that we need to pay to these verses and the encouragement that God gives us in many layers as we go through the Word of God. So without further ado, let's read the first three verses together. And it says here, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And it is. It's beautiful. And let me tell you something. The word of the Lord, whether written to you, the believer, whether written to you, the unbeliever, it's coming. It is coming. You've got an appointment. And you will receive. And the word of the Lord is true. And we're thankful. But this is such wonderful testimony and encouragement here. You think about, as he says, I am the author and finisher of your faith. And I love these three verses. If there was ever a section of scripture that would not allow even an eye to slumber, I'll tell you what, he's speaking it, and he's speaking it through and to this precious prophet. And what a call, if you will, a sergeant of arms once again. This is an alarm. This is a command. Well, that's what prophecy is, the word of God. But first off, if you see here, it says, I will stand. I will stand upon my watch. Now, brothers and sisters, you can't stand upon anything but what you've taken hold of. That's the truth. You can't stand in what you don't know. You can pretend, but that won't last long. You can go by feeling, and that won't last long. But when you really take a stand by the grace of God, we understand that we stand upon one thing, and that is the rock that's higher than I. So whatever standing you'll take with the Lord, it's always going to be the Lord. Amen. We know that. And he is the only one that allows us to stand. But I love as it says here, I will stand upon my watch. It's a sweet thing to think about this in military to soldiers. They're given to stand watch. And they are. And to stand watch at various times for various things. We understand our watch, brothers and sisters, and the word even tells us we're good soldiers. And we endure hardness. And let me tell you something, and I don't know this personally, but I've heard testimony of it. Some of the most difficult things, and one of the most difficult thing in the service, is to stand watch. A lot of times when you're standing watch, most of the time, nothing's happening. But that doesn't make any difference. You have to stand ready and stand your watch. Amen? I mean, that's what it is. And as good soldiers, you know what our watch is? Our watch is of the day. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? Our watch is not of the night. Go on over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This tells us specifically, if you will, of our watch and what we're called to. And what our standing is by the grace of God, little pillars in the house of the Lord. But reading from the first verse of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So right there, it's given us the encouragement that we're watching. And this is our watch, isn't it? It's for the coming of the Lord, to look for him. And as the word of God tells us, it's going to be that hour that you think not. It's when nobody's watching, nobody's, he's going to come. There's going to be a lot of people that tire. There's going to be a lot of people that faint. They're not going to endure. There are even going to be ones that say, well, why am I watching? This isn't going to happen. You know what I'm saying, and it's gone that way. And but for the grace of God, we'd go any of those ways. You know that. Amen? Yeah, this is the grace of God here, okay? This isn't any of our doing. This is his complete workmanship, praise God. But you see here, he says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. So see, our watch is of the day. And I want you to make note, if you will, if you haven't already, those two words, children, in the Greek, that word is huios. It's really not children. That's the mature sons. And why would it be anything else? This isn't kid time that are standing watch for this. These are the huios, the mature sons of God, even though, again, the word children is used here. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. See, there's no sleeping in this watch. This watch is ever alive, ever awake. Amen? Ever ready, praise his name. There you go. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Isn't that wonderful? And we're just reading and rejoicing today. The righteousness of God by faith. Righteousness by faith. More righteousness by faith. Growing into the exalted rank of righteousness by faith. Isn't that wonderful? And notice, it's never going to be accompanied without love. Praise the Lord. And isn't that so true of this watch? It can never be endured without love. Yeah. See, here, it'll never last. It'll never be. Here, it's always. It just abides. It just abides. And it's his faithfulness that abides. Because we're as flaky can be. Let's be honest now. Come on. But there's something about his love that just... Thank you, Jesus. It's just a big thank you that comes forth. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope, the hope of salvation. And we know that we're not hoping to be saved. It's that hope, praise God, of seeing him face to face tonight. Praise God that it would be the watch tonight. Hallelujah, that we see him, which is always that day. That's why it's the children or the mature sons of the day. Because it's that day and it's the moment of the beginning of that day. So what a precious encouragement that we have there. And so thankful that we see these things. But notice here that there is no watching, once again, without a stand. There's no watching without a stand. You have to stand to watch. You ask a soldier, really, what would happen if you were standing watch and you sat down? You'd be taken out. It would be taken away. Amen? It would be taken away. See, we stand watch, holding fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And if we don't stand watch for that, if our life isn't loving his appearing, that's what our standing watch is. That's taken away. All right? We have. We've let someone take that crown. And once again, it's because there was a letdown of what? Faith and love. Faith and love. And my mind protected with that helmet, that hope, that abounding hope of the Holy Ghost, salvation with eternal glory. What does it mean to us? Everything. Everything. What is it to us? The only thing. What else is there? Nothing. That's it. Amen. Praise God. I believe that really sums up when Paul says, if by any means I might attain. Amen. Being only found. He didn't say partly found. We're going to give it a good try. Let's just be around the target. He said, for the mark, for the prize, for the high calling. It's exact. It's a bullseye. And praise be to God. We know it's the righteousness of God by faith. By faith. By faith. Thank you, Jesus. So, it's perfectly given, isn't it? Now, all the watches, if you will, they require reproving. If you go on back to our text in Habakkuk, it says there in that first verse, he says, I will stand upon my watch, set me upon the tower. You notice there has to be a high place, and it is a high place. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what, he's got to take you to that mount to see out. You have to have a vision, don't you? And you got to get up there. And we're already seated up there, aren't we? How could you be seated any higher than you're already seated together with him? Do you see what I'm saying? And that we wouldn't look out, it's because we don't want to see. You get that? Because he's not a respecter of person. All of his sons are born one way, little lords of all. But you can squander it, and you can just be a servant. Even though you're seated together with him, you could be acting like you're walking around with a palm. No, you're seated over here. What are you doing? Your mind's wandering. This is who you are. See, that's the whole thing. Going right back to who you are in Christ and where you're seated and what has been given to you. You don't work for it. You're born into it. I don't mean to use the word lotto, but you hit the lotto of his love. I mean, it just is what it is. It's everything. It's everything. And I thank God that this is what it is in his son, in his son, in Christ. And that plan, if you will, think about that as well too, that Jesus died for the sin of every man. Every man had this grace. Isn't that something? Every man had this grace. That's what's so sad when you see people mock God, when you see people go after strange God, false gods. He died for them. He died for their sin. He died for their sin to have not just salvation, but all of it, salvation with eternal glory. That's how much this loving God loves. That's how much love was poured out on that cross. It wasn't just to save you. It was for every person to even be his bride. So I'm just amazed at that grace, but it is amazing grace. Praise the Lord. But here we go. It says, set me up on that tower, give me that vision, and we'll watch to see what he will say. See, there's always that anticipation. It's always the word of God, isn't it? See, what he will say, not what I will think, not what anybody else says. It's what he will say. See, it's like you're just ready. You know, and he speaks to you, don't you? You know, he does. He says, my sheep know my voice. And he walks with us and he talks with us. And it's called the word of God. Avail yourself to it. He that hath an ear, let him hear. But you hear by the word of God. Amen. And so here we are. We're hearing this word of God. And what I shall answer when I am reproved. I love that. See, there needs to be a working of the Lord in us and the working of the word in us. And that reproved, it does mean chastened, challenged, enhanced. And I love that. See, not just chastened and challenged, but you're going to be enhanced. Huh? See, if you don't endorse the chastening, then you're not allowing him to deal with you as a son. You want to endure that. Amen. You want to thank him for that. And as I've told you many times, some of the greatest and sweetest moments of my life was when both my sons, individually, at their own behalf, not that their dad had to tell them this, when I got the thank you. Thank you. Basically, Dad, for hanging in there and not stopping and keep encouraging me, even though I didn't want to listen. Because you know what? It got in. Praise God. And that's exactly how our Lord is. And even more so. But this is this correction and enhancing that he does to us. Whom he loves, he chastens. We're in his hands. And those hands are mighty. We're the jewels. Jewels need to be cut. We're as that gold tried in the fire. Just the perfection, again, of the masterpiece and how it needs to be groomed in so many ways. Now, it's not easy to stand watch. It becomes wearisome. As mentioned a little bit earlier, I thank the Lord we're always anticipating, even though most times nothing happens. Be honest, it's the truth. But for our watch, he that shall come will come. And by the grace of God, it's not just good enough for me. We've got it all. Because he will come. And we thank the Lord for that. Now, we read here as well too. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that reads it. Now, I thank God, once again, this is receiving this in this testimony to us in what God gives us in the Word of God, and especially what God gives us in Paul's gospel. Notice here, make it plain. Once again, I think about cookies on the shelf. I love that. We don't need to speak with enticing words. My goodness, you speak with the Word of God. That's enticing. That's like incredible. That's like, man, I want to devour that. That's just beautiful. We ask the Lord by his Spirit, Lord, come shed your love abroad. And I'll tell you what, just like what's going on tonight, it's just as mighty because it's just the same Jesus. It doesn't matter if it's Sunday morning. It doesn't matter if it's Wednesday. It doesn't matter if the pews are full or if there's one. When you're here in Jesus' name and the Spirit, I'll tell you what, pours it out, that's all you need. And then you're thankful to God, and who else will hear? But it's been made known, and I thank the Lord. And we read it. Isn't that wonderful? See, most people, they just want to run, and they don't know anything. But that's running that is one that beats the air. Once again, and how many times does it happen? How many people have you heard going on mission trips? We're going on a mission. We're going on a mission. What's your message? What are you going to tell people about the Word of God? I've met many a saved missionary that cannot tell you how to accept Christ Jesus as your Savior. Horribly sad. And I'm not exaggerating that. I'm telling you the truth. There was a school that sent many of them out. And I won't mention the name. But it was the truth. Getting people excited about. Well, excited about what? About doing. Doing what? Just doing. We're going to go do good work. So sad. You're never going to do anything. You need to understand that God does everything. And you want him doing it. How many times did we read today about not by works, without works, apart from works? Get rid of works. And all people want to go back to is to James. Well, it says faith without works is dead. Well, we had a study on that, didn't we? And I'll tell you what, go to the Word of God to answer it. It's just like, as we mentioned earlier today. Oh, we established the law, brother. I've heard people say, we established the law. Well, you're a Christian, ain't you? Well, sure am. Well, how could you establish something that doesn't even pertain to your life? The way he thought it was pertaining to his life. Oh, thank you, Lord, how you established that for me. And I get it. Praise his name. Now, brothers and sisters, we read and then we run. Without the reading, without the knowledge, without it being made plain, I'll tell you what, there's no running. There's no running, not purposeful. And that's why most of God's precious people have no clue to the truth. Because you know why? They've never been taught. And they don't want to know. And he said that he that wills to know will know. But we run because we know. And we run in a full purposeful watch. And what I mean by that is we're running for a specific time and a specific place that will meet the Lord, our bridegroom, in that first trump in the air. And that's why it's make it plain on the tables. And that actually translates sincere upon your heart. Make it sincere upon your heart. I love that. That's just so beautiful. And notice how that happens once again. Write the vision and make it plain or sincere upon the heart. Yeah. Now we know that only the Holy Ghost can do that. But there has to be a surrendering and submitting for that, isn't there? That it becomes love. That's why it's faith and love, or faith in love. Faith worketh by love. You can have faith to move mountains, but without love, it profits nothing. And you're thankful to God. I don't want to be a cerebral Christian. I sure want to know the Word of God. But you'll never know the Word of God without love. And you'll never have the power of the Word of God working in you without love. And we're thankful for this. But this vision, if you will too, is always at an appointed time. It's exact. And what that means, that appointed time there, it says the vision in verse 3, for the vision is yet at an appointed time. That is a set meeting time. That means a set meeting time. It's not just, well, we'll meet at 3:30-ish or something of that nature, somewhere in the morning. No, it's an exact meeting time. And aren't we thankful for this exact meeting time we're talking about? Only the Father knows that. Only the Father knows that. And once again, for us, by grace, we see his desire. With more grace, we grow into more of his desire. See, we see his desire. And then we continue to take that grace, and then we grow into that same desire. So there's this anticipation of this exact meeting time by the bridegroom and the bride that only the Father knows when that moment's going to be. And it is. It's exciting how that the Lord is working that in our lives and how God makes that known. But knowing his desire, praise the Lord, we know that it takes time through the Word of God, through prayer, and then experience. And that happens over and over and over and over and over again. Once again, the Word of God and prayer and experience. That's called patience, isn't it? Amen? When it goes over and over, it's called patience. When you said, I don't want any more, that's when you've given up on that. Amen? But it's going to be patience. Because that experience of the Word of God, that's when it gets bitter to the stomach. That's when things begin to not be joyous for the moment. But it's for that moment. Right? We're looking to our appointment. And we understand that those moments that are all added up, they're exact and they're precise. They're needful. If you will, they're the recipe that have the exact ingredients for the masterpiece. They can't be manipulated, moved, changed in any way. They're exact. And they all work together. They all work together for our good. Amen. And I love that. And that's where I'm thankful. As I was fellowshipping with a brother at lunch, we're very graced, brothers and sisters. We're very comforted in this place. We understand that the Lord has been tried in all of these things for us. He's been tested, if you will, in all these things. He understands us in ways that are at the cellular level of how we are and how we act and move. You know what? He was made one of us. He not only creator, but he became and was made a man. All right? So he understands that, and he understands that hurt. But then in his faithfulness as well too. You think about the comfort that God has given us in this place. there really isn't anything. If you collectively take all of the ones that come to our meeting, we've experienced pretty much everything in this meeting. Every tragedy, every sorrow, every failure, every temptation. But thanks be to God for the testimony of faith that these vessels of like precious faith by the grace of God have allowed the Lord to meet those things with that faith. That we know how to pray for one another. We know when a brother or sister enters into that temptation or into that tragedy or into that trial by the grace of God. There's ones that truly have gone through those things. That not say, well, I just know. No, I know in spirit what God did and what God's doing. Amen. That's called his body. Isn't that amazing? And that's how beautiful he is to bless us in ways that are just beyond finding out. And there's just more thanks to God and especially for his body going on all the time. And I pray it continues to grow in us. But see, patience must always have her perfect work. See, her perfect work. And we understand that's grace. I always love it. Every time you kind of get that feminine in a way, I always think of the beautiful grace. Because he's drawn to that. That is, he is full of grace and truth. But that's why she's the masterpiece of grace. Because she is the most beautiful part. It's just incredible what grace is. But that husbandman, as it says in James chapter 5, the husbandman waits for that precious fruit. He waits for it and he abides. And we must wait too for that fruit to be produced. As the word of God says, in due time, after we've suffered a while, after the pruning, then the blossoms are ready for the raining. And I love that. That marvelous fruit that's produced. That's one of the reasons why I was so thankful the other day when the Lord really brought out the definition of that word knit together. The very instance and act of the consummation between a husband and a wife. That's what knit together means. And it goes on and on and on and on. And why wouldn't it? Because the Lord's after fruit, amen? Well, I believe fruit takes a pollination, if you will. We'll keep this PG tonight. But that's what it is. Come on now. How could it be any other way? And that's the Lord doing that in us and doing that in this body. And praise be to God, the fruit that is produced. So I thank the Lord as we've been studying those cherubim as well too. And I'll just throw this in. Upon those walls, there was the flowers seen on and between the cherubim on the wall of the temple. I love that. It's like a crowning, if you will, as well too. All of that precious fruit. Now never forget this. The refining fire. We've heard that story many times where that guy said, well, how do you know when it's ready? Well, when I can see my reflection in that work. And we're thankful to that. I was had a little testimony this morning from a brother. It was so sweet because Walter said to me about, he's got a friend that's a blacksmith. And he was telling him about how when you're working with iron and different things. And it was sweet to hear. He said, you know, you can only allow this iron to get down to, I don't know, maybe 150 degrees or 140 degrees temperature. Because if you get it down anything below that, it just, you can't work it anymore. So us, you know, just rejoicing with him, well, that's, we're never taken out of the fire. We might be taken out of some of the intense heat for a while, but we're still heated. He's got to keep us hot, you know. And thankful to God, as I was kind of kidding about some of the couples in this church, I said, oh, yeah, somebody said, they're just like gasoline and matches. I said, yeah, but that produces flames. I said, we want to be flaming ones for the Lord. Now, I'm not going to look at the couples too much anymore here, but I'm just telling you, that's what only God can do and give you that that abounding hope and smile. Even as you're enduring with one another, praise God. But let's finish this up tonight. And he will come, he will not tarry. Verse 3, isn't that beautiful? See, that's everything with the Lord. My word's true, I'm coming. And I love how the Lord said to the prophet, I'm coming for my words. I'm coming for your words. I love that. You spoke those, I'm coming. And that's a beautiful thing. The only question here is, Will we be part of that goodly, true worshiper part that's looking for this? Those that look for him, as the word of God says, he'll appear a second time. Those that love his appearing will have the same exalted rank of righteousness crown as Brother Paul. You will only have what you look for. It's the truth. And we know that. And the word of God tells us that. And that's so wonderful, is to always be looking for the word of God. I guess I was even thinking today, it was so sweet. As Samuel was called by the Lord, he said, well, I'm going to give you another king. It ain't Saul. It's one of Jesse's kids. You know, and all them, you know, all them sons went by him and everything. And, you know, he could have just, you know, given up and said, okay, well, this is it. He knew, even though all the sons had walked by him, he, you know, as what would have any man would thought, his thing, don't you have another son? The confidence in the word of God. There's got to be another, because the word of God said it. Anticipating, always looking for what the word of God said. Think of that about your own life. Now, we've got a whole new sermon right now, but this is really, truly what it is. Always be looking for what the word of God said. Because our eyes aren't going to see it. And you're going to be looking for it, but then, once again, you may not see it right away. And you may see things that are kind of contrary to it. Oh, it was so close, but not exact. Let me tell you something. The word of God is exact. And that's the problem with man and his unbelief. He starts to try to morph the word and mix the word and cause the word to be contoured to what fits what they see. That's why, that's exactly what the enemy will do. Start taking away and adding to. That's why the word of God says so distinctly, don't you take away or add to. It's perfect. It's perfect. It's exact. You look for exactly what I said. Because I'm looking for exactly for what I said. Those that are believing in exactly what I said. And that's how beautiful it is. And that meeting will be that. Those are the lovers. The lovers are confident in the love in one another, aren't they? And when they say they're going to meet, they're going to meet. There's no letdown there. There might be bumps along the way, and with the Lord, it's always on one side. Everybody, I always counsel, well, it takes two. In this case, it took one, you. You're the problem. God's not. It's an easy way to counsel. I just want you to know, there's nothing mystifying at. We're the trouble. He's not. But always be looking, by the grace of God, for that perfect, because it is perfect, the perfect word. Not something close, not a counterfeit. Not something that fits your appetite for the moment. Because you'll feast right out of a trash can in a heartbeat. Amen? Yeah, lots of stuff in here. Isn't that amazing? Always is, isn't it? But only we will become what we see by faith and believe. You'll only become what you see by faith and believe. If you always see yourself as a servant, that's what you'll be. If you see yourself as just this child, that's just what you'll be. If you'll look through the eyes of what he wants and sees you, there's nothing else but that fully mature bride is what you will be. You see. That's right. His vision. Amen. Praise God. And we understand it is not by works. And we're thankful that what's been revealed to us, we are only to look for it, to long for it, and to become it for him. Because he does the work. And he tells you here in that fourth verse, the just shall live by his faith. Praise God. So let's just believe on. Amen. And thank the Lord. How isn't his word beautiful? I mean, his word is so beautiful. It's so pure. But know this. That's what the Holy Ghost does. And see these words, without the Holy Ghost, without His Spirit, just kind of fall to the ground. But He's the one that makes you fertile. That fertile ground. That softened ground. Always thank Him for that. Never grow cold to that. Amen? Thank the Lord for His Spirit. Praise God. All right, let's stand and be dismissed.